Please take your Bibles and turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 2. Today is Sunday, June the 27th, 2025. And this morning, for most of us in this room, a lot of what we're going to be looking at will be a review of some of what we learn in the Walking in God's Power foundational and intermediate classes concerning the Spirit of God. And as I mentioned earlier this weekend, some of us sat through the Walking in God's Power intermediate class, and it was not the first time for us. So it was a review, and whenever you review anything, you can gain a deeper understanding, a deeper appreciation for whatever topic it is you're reviewing. So we're going to review a little this morning, things that you have heard before. Also this morning may be helpful in talking to people because it's quite common to hear people say that we are all made in the image of God. I'm sure you've heard that before. We're all made in the image of God. So let's review, and we're going to start in Genesis chapter 2, the commandment that God gave to Adam. Genesis 2, 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Very clear. It wasn't confusing. It was very clear, right? And we're not going to read it, but we know from chapter 3, when the tempter tempted Eve, he said, "You shall not surely die." But God said, "In the day you eat of it, you shall surely die." We'll come back here to Genesis in a minute, but look at chapter 5 of Genesis. God said, "In the day you eat of it, you shall surely die." And you know from chapter 3, they did eat. In Genesis 5:5, it says, "All the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died." So Adam lived 930 years. God had said, "In the day you eat of it, you shall surely die." So was the serpent right? You shall not surely die? Let's look carefully at three verses that really helps us to understand this. Back in Genesis 2, where we were before, three verses really help to clear things up. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." So there's body and soul, and living soul is soul life. It's life, living soul. So body and soul. In chapter 1 of Genesis, the other two verses, chapter 1, verse 26, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Verse 27. "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." It's really very noteworthy that this is the very first reference to human beings in the Bible. And it's in the first chapter of God's Word. The very first thing that God wanted recorded in His Word about Adam and Eve was that He created them in His image. Three times in that verse it says created. Now in chapter 2 we saw that God formed the body and then breathed into him the breath of life. But here, God created both the male and the female in his own image and likeness. And it's really important to note from just these three verses, God formed man's body of the earth. We know our bodies are all made of elements of the earth. But God formed the body from the dust of the ground. God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And God created them both in his image. The Bible does not say Adam's body was formed in God's image or likeness. It doesn't say that. We know what it says about the body. He formed a body from the earth, from the dust of the ground. God doesn't say in his word that Adam's body was formed in God's image. But if you look at Genesis 5, another verse in Genesis 5 we're going to look at, this is really kind of interesting. Genesis 5, 3. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness, after his image, and called his name Seth. Adam begat a son in his own image, after his likeness. So Adam's progeny were after Adam's likeness and image. So again, the Bible doesn't say Adam's body was formed in God's image or likeness. And the Bible does not say that every human being is made in the image of God, which we hear many times. But the Bible does say that Adam and Eve were created in God's image. And yet we hear so often people say that, you know, the reason we need to be loving and kind to everybody in the world, because after all, we're all created in the image of God. We hear that a lot. The image of God is not the image and likeness of Adam. We just saw that. Adam had a son that was in his own image. And, you know, we know there are verses in the Bible that say things like, the arm of the Lord, the eyes of the Lord. You know, we've read some of those, right? The hand of God. And we know that those are figures of speech. Well, how do we know they're figures of speech? Well, take a look at John chapter 4. Talking about the Spirit of God, Jesus Christ made two really wonderful statements. And I think you're probably familiar with both of them. But in John chapter 4, in verse 24, Jesus Christ said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Jesus Christ said, God is spirit. And then in Luke, back up to the Gospel of Luke, last chapter in Luke, Luke chapter 24, this is when Jesus Christ was in his resurrected body, and they were kind of freaking out when he just literally popped in. Luke 24, and we'll start in verse 36. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are you troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. So those references to God having arms and eyes and all that have to be figures of speech, because God is a spirit, and a spirit doesn't have flesh and bones. Jesus Christ said, God's a spirit, and Jesus Christ said a spirit doesn't have flesh and bones. So God doesn't have flesh and bones. And it's a good thing. How big would God have to be? Our size? I don't think so. God doesn't have flesh and bones. Adam and Eve were created in the image of God, which is spirit. So they not only had a body, and they had soul life, but of all the creatures, God uniquely gave Adam and Eve spirit life. And when they disobeyed, as you know from chapter 3 of Genesis, they did surely die that day. They lost the Spirit of God. They lost spirit life that God had intended for all human beings to have. And of course, we refer to the loss of life as death. That's the words we use. Death means loss of life. In that very day, they died because they lost spirit life. So now they were just body and soul. So when Adam begat a son in his image and likeness, it was body and soul. And it carried on. All human beings suffered that great loss because all human beings are born body and soul. No spirit life. Turn to Psalm 51, if you would. Psalm 51. Now, I was thinking about something this week, so indulge me for a moment or two, if you would. We know that right after the fall, God put in motion his great plan of salvation and redemption in order to make it available so that human beings could once again have his spirit available, which of course would give them eternal life. That was the big plan. And I was thinking about this week. He didn't have to do that, did he? But he did. Ephesians tells us that the things he did were according to his good pleasure. It's what it says in Ephesians, what he determined after his own counsel. It was his decision to do that. So think about this for just a moment. How big is God's concern for human beings? And part of the answer to that question is another question. How big is the universe? They say there are billions, with a B, of galaxies. And of course, our solar system, the sun, planets, is in one of those billion galaxies, which is called the Milky Way. So here in the Milky Way galaxy, along with our solar system in this galaxy, they say there's anywhere from 100 to 400 billion stars. In our galaxy, which is one of billions of galaxies, and they say that most of those stars would have a solar system with planets. So when you think of that, how unmeasurably small is the earth compared to the entire universe that God created? You know, our little earth is a dot on a dot on a dot on a dot. And yet, the creator of the whole universe is so deeply concerned with human beings and his love so great that he gave his only begotten son so that human beings could once again have his spirit in them and have eternal life. Out of the whole universe. And how big is it? We don't even know how big it is. And God wanted us to not only have his spirit, but for human beings on this planet, in this solar system, in this galaxy, in the whole universe, God wanted human beings to have everlasting life, for us to live forever and ever and ever. That's mind-blowing when you think of the big, and he didn't have to do this. This life is not all there is. God has some very, very big plans in store for us human beings. No wonder it says in Romans, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. And Ephesians talks about in the ages to come, the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ. My goodness. Anyway, I thought about that this week and it just kind of blew my mind a little bit. So back to the topic at hand, Spirit of God. In the Old Testament, as you know, because of God's great love, God graciously gave some people his spirit, the Spirit of God. And they needed it to continue on with God's great plan of salvation and redemption. But back then it was not permanent. They could lose it, right? King Saul had the Spirit of God and he lost it. And here in Psalm 51, David prayed in verse 11, "Cast me not away," Psalm 51, 11, "cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me." Because back then it was not permanent. You could lose it. But as you know, on the day of Pentecost, God opened the doors that whosoever could receive God's great gift of Holy Spirit, and it was permanent. Everlasting life. And so that's why we see in the scriptures, from God's point of view, when a person is not born again, they're dead. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. And again, this is a review. Nothing new for us here, but although it may not be new, it's always good to review because we can gain a deeper understanding. Ephesians 2, 1, "And you hath he quickened," and quickened means made alive, "who were dead in trespasses and sins." Now, this was written to people who were living. God says, you were dead, but you were made alive. Verse 4. "But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us." Why in the world does God love people so much? John 3:16, "God so loved the world," this little world, people. Not necessarily the plants and the trees and the elephants and the bees, but I'm sure he likes all of that stuff. But that verse, "God so loved the world," meaning people, the people here on this planet, this dot on a dot on a dot. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. His great love wherewith he loved us, even when, verse 5 says, "even when we were dead in sins, hath made us alive together with Christ, by grace you're saved." From God's point of view, before a person receives his spirit, they're dead. No spirit life. But God made us alive. He gave us life. What kind of life? He gave us spirit life. We have the image of God in us. We have spirit life. Remember what Jesus Christ said in John 10:10, "The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." What kind of life? Spirit life. He was talking to people that had life, right? They were all listening to him, so obviously they were alive, but they didn't have spirit life. They only had body and soul life. God's original desire was for human beings to be three parts: a body, soul life, and spirit life. And that spirit life is what was his image, because God is spirit. And that spirit of God gives us a connection with the Creator, an open relationship with God Almighty. It affords us access to the Creator, God. And it gives us the ability to operate the Spirit that's in us, to operate the power that's available with the Spirit of God. Back up to 1 Corinthians 2, if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12 says, 1 Corinthians 2:12, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God." That's what we've received, "that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." It says in Corinthians, "The natural man, body and soul, receives not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned." We have the Spirit of God. We can understand spiritual things. You don't need to turn there, but 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." That's the Spirit of God that we have in us. That's the image of God we carry around every day. Not fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. 1 John 3:24 says, "And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us." 1 John 4:13 says, "Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit." We have it. The day of Pentecost, Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of Holy Spirit." The doors were open that day. And how easy God made it. We know how to get saved. Romans 10:9, you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. You believe in your heart God raised him from the dead. God says, that's enough, that's fine. That's all you need to do. It's like what Jesus Christ said in John 3:16. Remember John 3:16? Anybody know it by heart? John 3:16. For God
so loved the world and that he gave his only begotten
Son. Amen. How easy that is. That verse says, whosoever believes on him would not perish but have everlasting life. And Romans 10:9 says, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. How easy God made it for us. So simple. Anybody can get born again. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. So when someone has the information that, hey, Jesus Christ is Lord of all people. He's Lord. And guess what? God raised him from the dead. When a person has that information and accepts it and believes it, you know, we say they're born again. They now have the image of God in them. They have the Spirit of God in them. And Ephesians talks about that, saying in Ephesians 1:13, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth. A person needs to hear the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And that Holy Spirit of promise, verse 14, is the earnest, the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. This life is so temporary. This life is not all there is. If this life was all there is, what are we doing here on Sunday morning if this life is all there is? What would be the point? You know, you live, you get old, you die, and that's it. What's the point? The real point is God wants you to live forever. And he gave us eternal life. So like Adam and Eve started out, for born-again ones, we have two life forms now as born-again ones. We have soul life and we have spirit life, the image of God. We're what God intended for human beings, body, soul, and spirit. And praise the Lord, for us, it's permanent, and that means we have everlasting life. We have his spirit in us. We have the ability to manifest that spirit. We have the ability to operate all nine manifestations. That's what Corinthians says. Let's go to Corinthians chapter 12 before we close in 1 Thessalonians. And you know what? God not only made it so easy for us to get his spirit in us, he also made it obvious by giving us proof that the spirit's really in there. You know, a person could get, okay, Jesus Christ is Lord, and I believe God raised him from the dead. And we would say to them, you're saved. You're born again. You have God's Spirit. I don't feel nothing. Where is the Spirit? It's in you. I don't see it. Right, because it's Spirit. I don't feel anything. But God gave us proof on the day of Pentecost. The 12 were in the temple, and the Bible says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to do what? They manifested. They began to speak in tongues. They knew they had. As a matter of fact, when Peter went to Cornelius' house, what was the proof that those folks at Cornelius' house had received Spirit, had received, as Peter said, the like gift as we did at the beginning? They knew that those believers had received the Spirit of God because they heard them speak in tongues. And whenever we speak in tongues, guess what? That's a proof that we got it. We have the Spirit. If we can do one manifestation, you can do all manifestations. Isn't that wonderful? So saying or implying that every human being is created in the image of God, it might sound nice. We're all created in the image of God. Sometimes people say we're all children of God. It's not biblical. And it completely ignores what's so clear in the scriptures, especially those three verses in Genesis we looked at, the one in chapter 2 and the two in chapter 1. Adam and Eve had a body, they had soul life, and they had spirit life. God created them in his image. And 1 Corinthians chapter 12, very familiar to us. God's word says, now concerning spiritual matters, brethren. I think you know gifts in italics. The word spiritual, better translated as spiritual matters. Concerning spiritual matters, brethren. So this is to the believers. I would not have you ignorant. God's word to born-again believers is he doesn't want us ignorant of spiritual matters. So why are so many Christians ignorant concerning spiritual matters? Don't blame them. Don't blame them at all. The reason they're ignorant is they haven't been taught. Blame the people that are doing the teaching, the preachers and the teachers, the people that are there to learn about God and his word are not getting the instruction from God's word, and therefore they're remaining ignorant of spiritual matters. And God says, I don't want you to be ignorant of spiritual matters. And if someone doesn't know about spiritual matters, they need someone to teach them and show them, take them to the book. So don't blame them. Part of a lack of understanding of God's gift of Holy Spirit is really due to the ignorance in not recognizing the very first thing God said in his word about human beings, that they had a body, they had soul life, and they had God's image of spirit, spirit life. And so being ignorant of that, it makes it difficult to gain an understanding of the Spirit of God that's available today to all born-again believers. And who do you think would be in favor of all that ignorance? Perhaps the one that said, thou shalt not surely die. The one who the Bible says is a liar and the father of lies and one who deceives the whole world. We're going to close in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, if you would turn there. How blessed we are to know some of these things. God doesn't want us ignorant of spiritual matters. So what did he do? He gave us his word, this book, the Bible. He gave us his word that is full of information regarding the Spirit of God. Why? Well, obviously so we could have eternal life, but so that we could utilize the Spirit of God, so that we could see in the Scriptures, what do you do with this gift of Holy Spirit? You know, someone could give you a gift of a pen, you know, and you could say, well, thank you very much, that's cool, and you just put it in the drawer. It's sad, many Christians have Holy Spirit and it's just sitting in the drawer. As many Christians don't even know they have Spirit. They're born again, they don't even know. You know, yes, Jesus Christ is Lord. Of course God raised him from the dead. They don't realize they're filled with the image of God, the Spirit of God, and have the ability. So this book, our wonderful Bible, has great information about the Spirit of God so that we don't have to stay ignorant of spiritual matters, so that we can manifest and operate the Spirit that God has given us. And, you know, here in this area of the world, we're very blessed to have available the Walking in God's Power series, foundational, intermediate, and advanced. We're very blessed to have that here so that we can continue to keep reviewing and keep growing. And for people that don't have that great blessing, there's a lot of wonderful publications that are available that can help a person in their growth. You know, there's some wonderful publications by Reverend Cummins. There's some great publications that Reverend Gear has done. There's information that's out there. But God still says he doesn't want us ignorant of spiritual matters. So we close in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I thought this would be a fun verse to read. 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is coming back. Today could be the day. So until he does, let's keep reviewing and growing. Reviewing and growing in both our understanding and operating of God's wonderful gift of Holy Spirit. Father, thank you for your love, which is so great we can't even begin to imagine it, that the Creator of the heavens and the earth would be so concerned about us human beings, and that love so great you gave your only begotten Son so we could live forever. And we so look forward to that day when you send our Lord Jesus Christ back to come and get us. Until then, we're so grateful for the knowledge of your word that we do know. We certainly don't know it all, but we know enough, Father, that we're born again and we can operate your spirit. May we walk with the love of God in our hearts to each other. May we walk with the love of God in our hearts to those that may not have this knowledge. And Father, we pray that you would open up doors for us to speak the truth, to help people to understand your great plan of salvation and redemption and the wonderful gift of Holy Spirit that we all have that are born again. Thanks for the privilege of sharing your word this morning. I pray you bless everyone here, everyone on the hookup, and those that may listen to this later. Thank you, God, for loving us so big. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Anybody got any comments or questions? Or yes, Julie.
It's just so great in 1 Corinthians where God says that we might freely know the things hidden. I mean, I don't want to misquote that. That we might know the things freely given to us. And he wants us to know the things he's given to us freely. You don't have to pay for it. You don't have to get it. Whatever, it's free. And he wants us to know the things that he freely gave to us. And it's all in here.
It's in the book.
God is a good God, and he wants us to know.
Amen. Amen.